Good morning. Anybody said Happy Mother's Day today? Well, that's part of having a family, right? And a day to specifically honor mothers is very scriptural, as Proverbs in several places teaches us to listen and obey and attend to what our mothers taught us. And of course, Proverbs 31 is that fantastic passage of praise to the ladies in our life. And that's what I want us to grow in today, that the wives and mothers around us, but all ladies here, deserve our specific appreciation and praise. And gentlemen, this is our challenge. Children, this is our challenge, that we slow down enough to make sure that the ladies around us hear and see God's purpose and love in us for them, that we are their encouragement, that we are their connection. And Mark, thank you so much. Julie's hug is a perfect thing to praise. I'm probably embarrassing her like he did. Julie wouldn't want the extra attention, but she's given out so many hundreds of hugs. We'll just be thankful for that. And that touch, exactly like Mark said it, is powerful. But so is your touch. So is your hug. So is your eye connection. When you are listening to somebody, that you look at them and you make a connection with them. And if it's a serious conversation, you put your hand on their arm while you're talking. You make that connection. And today we're going to try to focus that extra amount on the ladies in our life, so that we do it all the rest of the days of the year. I was sitting there a while ago. I said doing this on Mother's Day may be a little unnecessary because we're paying attention to the ladies around us. We should have this lesson in November, right? To remind us to do this all the time. Women tend to keep things more interconnected. Men are more singular. That's not simple. That's not simplistic. That means we're focused on something pretty effectively. Women tend to interconnect things very effectively. But in all of those things, something's not working right. There's something out there that needs some extra help, that needs some extra repair, that needs some extra cleaning, that needs some extra strengthening. And so often in a lady's life, there are things that are limping along in her vision, whether it's her, literally, or her loved ones, or her home, or her job, or whatever it might be. So I want us men, children, to be extra attentive. And that's what this lesson is about. That's what this lesson is about. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Holy God, Heavenly Father, you are magnificent, glorious. We pray, Father, that we can attend to you, your word, that we can be the church you want us to be. We thank you for these many encouraging scriptures that teach us exactly how to behave in our lives, in our homes, and in your church, in your kingdom, Father. Help us to be the men and women who do that with joy, with purpose, with constancy, with growth, with maturing. We want to be your church. We want to bring your gospel to the lost in every direction and encourage one another to grow as disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. I will extol you. This is Psalm 145. We're just going to read the first part of it. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. You know, sometimes I think, Mark talked about me talking about power all the time because I love talking about God himself all the time. And when you talk about God, you talk about power. And I say, well, maybe I do that too much in my lessons, not because of Mark's comment. I was already thinking about that this week. And then I started reading these verses. And the verse says, I'll never stop blessing your name. I'll never stop praising you. And I go, okay, doing it all the time is exactly what Scripture calls us to do. So we keep reading. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. God is something for us to be excited about, is what it's saying. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Amen. And brothers, this is the foundational thinking that puts us in a place where we have the stability and the strength and the perspective to be that encouragement to the men and women around us. Today we're talking about being an encouragement to the ladies around us. But this is where God wants us to stand, in this kind of awareness, in this kind of praise. And talking about our relationships between men and women, let's go back to the beginning. Because, of course, you know that God created man in his own image. It's a very personal thing that he's done to us. We're not just a modified gorilla. We're not just a couple of orangutans that have put on clothes and drive vehicles. We have been brought into the image of God in some very powerful and specific ways. Spiritual awareness, creativity, eternity is part of who we are, because we continue forever after this life. And artistic things. The list goes on and on of the different ways that God has created us in his image. And specifically in his image, he created us male and female. That's not just a biological identity. That's not just biology of how to make babies. That's an identity of personage. That's an identity of mindset. That's an identity of strengths. That's an identity of awareness. God at times compares himself to mothers in his nurturing and his care. God at times compares himself to men in his leadership and attention. He specifically and purposefully created them male and female. The Lord God fashioned a woman, and the first thing he did with her, as soon as he had a woman, he brought her to the man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The first thing God did, the moment he had a man and a woman, he brought them together to be married, to be joined, to be made into one out of two, which also is God's identity. We're not going to get into that because it goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And an aside, a quick aside, singleness is perfectly honorable. You do not have to be married to please God. Being a single person, living your life and focused to Christ and serving him is honorable and good and has its own advantages. That doesn't change the fact that the first thing God did when he had a man and a woman is he brought them together to be one. And so marriage is this magnificent relationship that God created that reflects his own personage. They shall become one flesh. And of course, we are given this challenge, brothers. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's a charge. That's a challenge. That's a difficulty. To imagine yourself giving yourself up. You chose her. She chose you. You said, I will never, ever, ever leave you, which is what the vows say. And she said back to you, well, then I will never, ever, ever leave you either. And you told God, it's all for you, for your glory. It's not us, it's you. And so now you have this challenge. Like Christ died on the cross to give us a future, a possibility, you die to yourself to take care of your ladies. Show your ladies. And that goes for all the ladies in your life. Obviously, you are united to one. But we can show God's truth and God's love and God's discipleship in our lives to every lady we meet, to every lady in the congregation. And of course, for the children, they can show this kind of encouragement and care to their own mothers. Brothers, use your lives, your comfort, because you are comfortable and cared for in God. God has given you a stability that nothing else gives you. You use that stability to encourage the ladies around you. You use the strength God's given you to take care of the ladies around you. You use the words God's given you to encourage and lift up the women around you. Give our ladies the encouragement and strength that God wants them to have. He deliberately put us in these roles, and there's many more roles than just husbands and wives. There's roles all across this congregation, some of them very specifically for men or for women. There's all kinds of specific relationships that God has given men and specific relationships that God has given women. So, let's take a look at a list, and you can take some notes here because I have more scriptures than we'll have time to read. I encourage you to write them down and read them later. You see, this life, one of the fundamental things about your life is not about you. What? But I thought, but I want, but I'm going. Well, yeah. But it's not about us. You see, when Jesus was challenged in Mark, you know, what's the foremost commandment? What's the most important commandment God gives us? And Jesus significantly answers that question. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And with all your strength. That lifelong challenge, none of us will ever attain. But I pray that we can each grow stronger every week. Every day would be great, but you know our days are bumpy. Every week, let's just fix on every week, that this coming week, the one that starts right now, today is the first day of the week, that this week we'll love God deeper. We'll love God better. We'll love God more in thought. We'll love God more in our actions. Because we are supposed to live to love God. Jesus said that's the most important commandment God's given to us. Jeremiah 9 says, let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. I delight in these things. If you want to be excited about something, God says, be excited that you know me. John 14, Jesus gives us this amazing verse. He who has my commandments, verse 21, John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keep them is the one who loves me. I lost something here. Is it there? That's what I wanted. Nope. I'm sorry. I went forward when I shouldn't have. There it is. It's all still there. I know what I'm doing. I've done this before. I just don't remember where I am. Okay. John 14. I jumped forward just because I jumped a verse ahead. John 14, verse 21. But let him who boasts boast in this. Whoop, wrong one. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. Jesus said, you want to show love to me? Do what I teach. Do what I teach you to do. That's love. in that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. He who loves me will love my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Jesus says, you want to grow in me? Then obey my commands. Do what I teach you to do. In Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. It's not about us. We give God the glory. Psalm 95, which is what the 95 is referred to as the whole thing. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Let us come before the Lord, before his presence with thanksgiving. Verse 2, let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. It's not about us. We live here to praise God. We live here to love God. We live here to get to know God better. We live here to obey Christ. It's not about us. We live to love God, and we live to love others. Because the very next verse, Jesus added it to the question in verse 31, back in Mark 12 again. The very next verse, the very next thing he says, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The two things we're supposed to be continually active in is loving God and loving others. Every day, love God and love others. 1 John 3 gives us this challenge. We know love by this, that he laid his life down for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brothers, for the family. We are told not just to love others, but specifically taught by John to the church. This is not under some Old Testament prophecy description. This is personal. This is John, the disciple of Jesus, writing to us saying, you want to know love? Do it this way. You know how he laid his life down for us? Uh-huh. Well, then you do that for each other. It's not about us. It's about us loving others and loving others sacrificially. Loving God through and through and loving each other with sacrifice, with joy, with giving, with kindness, with compassion, with patience, with care, with attention. This is for the encouragement of our ladies, guys. We're focused on showing them Christ's sacrificial love. And then, of course, in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me, starting in verse 18. Jesus speaking, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we know that verse, but we have, you know, our congregational mission. We've simplified the mission of the church. It's not simplified. It's made complex, but it's only two words long. The mission of our congregation, as we've tried to lay it out in front of us, is make disciples. That's it. And the three tiers of that, we've said this many times before, but it's a great thing to remember. It's so encouraging to remember. Is we make a disciple out of ourselves. First of all, I need to be a disciple of Christ, and I have a lot of growing to do that correctly. I need to be a disciple of Christ. So that's the first one, that's the constant person I'm working on. And then we're here to help each other be disciples of Christ. We teach each other, we walk with each other, we sit with each other, we cry with each other, we pray with each other, we visit with each other, we laugh with each other, we work with each other. We are one anothering, as the New Testament teaches us. The church is not a byproduct. The church is the place where we walk in Christ. And we're making disciples of each other. We're sharpening each other doing that. And of course, the mission aspect of that is we help folks who don't know Christ, folks who haven't been baptized into Christ. Jesus says, you're baptizing, you're teaching, you're going is the process, but the goal, the purpose, the command verse, the command verb in this teaching of Jesus is make disciples. Make disciples. So our life is not about us. We are priceless to God. We don't feel that sometimes. We don't feel that a lot of times. We feel like losers. We feel like failures. We feel like all sorts of things. But God says very specifically, repeatedly, Old Testament and New, how precious we are. In Isaiah 43, I'll just read verse 4. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored, God teaching, talking to his people. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other people in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. It includes the beginning of verse 5. God says, you're precious to me. I love you, he says. You are loved. You are powerfully loved. And Romans 8 has this amazing scripture, which you know, who will separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a list, well, trouble or distress or persecution or famine. Can you list anything out there, any negative, any disaster that's going to pull the love of Christ, the love of God, away from you? And the answer is no. There's nothing that can stop God, that can stop Christ from loving you. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us. None of those things, not even death. There's no boundary, there's no barrier that's going to stop God from loving you, will be able to separate us from the love of God. These messages, these perspectives, we should be delivering to each other. Tell your ladies how priceless they are. Tell your ladies how God loves them forever and ever and ever and ever. And oh, by the way, so do you. Love them. You are loved more powerfully and more permanently than you realized. And you're precious in his sight. And you are worthy. First Peter, we read this recently. 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. And I'm adding, I'm breaking the sentence down into individual sentences. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He talks about how valuable we are, how worthy we are, that we are worth him creating us into the body of his son, into his kingdom, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And notice the purpose of us being brought together is that we can proclaim how excellent he is. That we can proclaim how excellent he is. You are priceless to God. You are important and talented. God gave you specific talent. Romans 12 says, God has allotted to each. Romans 12, verse 3. God has allotted to each. That means everyone individually. Every Christian, Lauren used to put it this way, there are no untalented Christians. Every Christian has a talent delivered by God. God has allotted to each a measure of faith, verse 3. Verse 4, for just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Please tell each other, whoever has been pulled away from assembling together with us, either from busy lives or from sickness or from broken hearts or a stumbling faith, whatever the reason is, please tell them we need you. And they go, what? You need me? I go and hardly anybody talks to me. What do you mean you need? We need you. If we have not made you feel welcome, that's our mistake. We love you. We need you. And oh, by the way, you need us. We need each other. Every member has been put here. We'll see that again elsewhere. Has been put here with the talents specifically delivered by God. God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Your talents are powerful. Peter says, use your talent, each one. Again, each one, 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it, use it in serving one another as good stewards of the grace of God. This is the strength which God supplies, he goes on and explains. Your talents are powerful, and God has delivered them. And he says, oh, by the way, that talent of patience you have, that talent of generosity you have, that talent of care you have, that talent of serving you have, that talent of giving you have, use it for each other. Use it in here. Obviously, we use it in connecting with people outside the church, but specifically, we're supposed to make this body stronger and stronger and stronger. And you've been given talents by God. You've been given abilities and placement by God to serve each other. And it comes out every week in our position as elders and teachers. We get to see it every week in each other's lives. You are placed here by God. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 reads, but now God has placed the members. God has placed the members, each one of them. Now, I don't know how he does that. All I know is that's what it says. You were put here by God's doing. Each one of them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, write it down, take a note, go read it later, and it goes on to talk about us using our talents. Each one of them in the body, and then it ends this way, just as he desired. Astounding, amazing, that we have been placed in the church where and when God desired it. That raises your level of significance dramatically. Therefore, tell each other these things. Honey, you are so important to the church. No, I'm not. I can't do anything. Yes, you are. You're priceless. You're put where God wants you to be. You have so many abilities. You serve and connect in so many beautiful ways. Build each other up with these facts. And we are victorious in Christ. This is the last list. We are victorious in Christ. Christ has overcome. He specifically says, these things I've spoken to you in John 16, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but I... That's not the one I'm reading. Yeah, it is. Verse 33. Have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. You have trouble? I understand, but you're victorious. I don't feel victorious. I feel clobbered. I feel weary. I feel worn out. Jesus says, I get it. You have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation while you're on this planet. But I've already won. I have overcome the world. You stand victorious, even if you feel beaten and bloodied, even if you feel worn out and you're about to collapse to the ground. Jesus says, I'm already standing in victory and you're in me. You are victorious in me. In Matthew 6, we get a long description that we're not going to read right now about why we don't worry, why we're a people who do not worry. We're not given a place to worry. We're given encouragement. Do not be worried about your life, he says in verse 25. Verse 31, do not worry, saying, then what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek eagerly for these things. And in verse 34, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says, I've got you. In me, you have nothing to worry about. I've got all of your tomorrows and your eternity taken care of. Mark talked about his scare with cancer. Not every scare with cancer ends up with an immediate victory, a no more cancer diagnosis. Some cancers take lives, and we've seen it and suffer through that. And it's painful, and Jesus weeps with you, and God holds your tears in a vial, Psalm reads. But we still stand victorious. Because it's not about now, it's not about here, it's about eternity with Him. So we are victorious in Christ, and Jesus says, if you feel burdened, come to me, because my burden is easy and light. Come to me, all who are weary, Matthew 11 and 28. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Back to when he said, obey what I teach you. Learn from me how to carry the burdens of this world. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We are given victory. Going all the way back we see how this life is devoted to God and to others, that we have the strength and the power and the perspective to be victorious through this life. And Christ guarantees us this victory. So the lady described in Psalm 31, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful passage. We read the first 8 verses, an excellent wife who can find. Her worth is far above jewels. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. You keep that relationship supported and trusting, you will grow. Serve and lift up the ladies in your home and in your congregation. Appreciate them. She's like the merchant ships and brings her food from afar, or at least from Anchorage, which is where the merchant ships park, right? The merchant ships come into Anchorage and they bring their stuff over to Costco. We fill up the back of our cars and drive it out here. She brings her food from afar. It works, right? Verse 20, she extends her hand to the poor while she stretches out her hands to the needy. We're allowed by God. We're encouraged by God. We're provided for by God that we can be generous with those who are wounded and needy around us. She's not afraid. Here's the one for an Alaskan congregation. Verse 21, Proverbs 31, 21. She's not afraid of the snow. This is written in the Middle East now, okay? You know, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. They're all going to be warm because she is caring for them. Verse 28, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you exceed them all. She's a blessing to many, she's wise and kind, and we look at our ladies around us, our own wives, our own mothers, and I know there's some crises in those relationships. We're not ignorant of those things. But we look at the ladies and say, wow, you're amazing. I'm so thankful for you. Spend that time today with those words coming from your heart to them. And tomorrow, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and keep going. That the ladies around us realize how precious they are, and they're getting it from a man who's standing in Christ, who's standing on his word, who's trusting his life with Christ's future. Let her works praise her at the gate. Thank God for our ladies. Please give them love and honor. If today there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ and you're ready to do that, if you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing.